Welcome to Fantasy Focus. My name is Jackson Argello. Today's podcast is presented by Geico. You can download Fantasy Focus wherever you get your podcasts. Fantasy, you're in the home 6010.
It is September 2nd, Field, Matthew Spagna, and Daniel hanging out with you. We are now 1 week away from real regular season football.
Here we go.
It is the Cowboys traveling to face off against the reigning defending Super Bowl champion, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who will look to become the first team since the 2003 and 2004 New England Patriots to repeat as NFL champions. Super Bowl champions, we also call that. So on today's show, we are going to not spend the entire time talking about the game a week from right now, but we are going to go over a mock draft, Matthew, as it's 1 week away from the NFL regular season, but we are in the middle of draft season for fantasy.
This football. Next week will be the heaviest draft week of the preseason. Starting, like, I have a draft tonight. I have a draft tomorrow night. I have, I think, three on Tuesday night. I think I have two on Wednesday night. Like, it's, you know... And I'm sure there's a couple that I've forgotten that we're still waiting to figure out. So
yeah, there are a ton. Every night. Like last night, like I got home from work. Chapin was like, "What draft do you have tonight?" I was like, "No, I actually don't have one tonight." She was like, "Huh?" She's like, "Is everything okay?" I was like, "Oh, I was too busy doing the live Q&A podcast with Daniel and Mike." And thank you everybody who joined us on that too.
Very fun. How'd
that go? It was great. Honestly, some people were calling it the best one we've ever done.
You know what? I got to be honest with you. Considering how successful that last one was, feels like the three of you guys should run it back.
I don't know, man.
For the next one.
I think maybe we should do a next one.
I feel like they should run it back. Who wants to take away from the fans? I don't want to take away from the fans. Like, feels like, because I know we got another one coming up. You guys should run that back.
Here's a quick question. We actually didn't get to it. I wanted to save it for today's show, but this was meant for the live show. It comes from Carl Wickham in London, Great Britain. If you guys are on trial in a court of law, and you could only choose one person from the podcast to defend you in court, which member would it be?
That's a great question.
It's a great question. Can I ask one thing before we answer that question?
Sure.
How long did it take you? Because I sense that you were about to say Great Britain, London, as opposed to London, Great Britain.
It's because they had it backwards
but like for a second, were you like, wait, which one's the country again?
Yeah, that was my bad.
Sometimes I do that. I'm not going to. It's okay. Who would you take, Matthew? I think I know the answer. The answer's got to be you.
Me.
Yeah,
I was going to say it's me.
Matthew can convince you that like the 39th best tight end in fantasy this year is a tight end two with upside.
I literally should have been a lawyer. My parents say this all the time.
He can convince you that Mecole Hardman could be a top 10 wide receiver.
That's true.
I could. Yeah, 100%. I coming out at some point today will be my 100 facts column, which is entirely skewed arguments and... manipulating stats.
You're already practicing for your
I do it every year. They're all skewed arguments and they're manipulated stats, and I explain how I do it and why I do it, because everyone does it. Every single person that gives analysis always skews stats. We don't have enough time to do a deep dive on every single player, so we pick a couple of stats or nuggets or plays from a tape on film to show that's why this guy's great or this guy isn't. Like, every single person does it. Some are better than others. I think I'm magnificent at it.
No, I mean, honestly, as much as it pains me to say this, it does pain me to say this.
Okay.
Can you earmuff it for a minute?
Sure.
Okay, thank you.
No, both ears.
Oh, both ears.
He doesn't have any hearing in the right one. He was only earmuffing the one he could hear out of.
Ear does not count.
I'm like George Bailey. All right, there you go.
There are a lot of people industry. There are many people who are in the fantasy football industry, and it's wonderful to see it growing because we need as many smart and sharp minds as we can that are covering fantasy football. There are only so many players, though, year over year that wind up mattering in fantasy football, and a lot of us have comparable opinions on these players, right? I don't find too many people that don't think Devontae Adams is one of the one or two best wide receivers in all of fantasy football going into this season. What makes Matthew, what makes you the godfather, and the GOAT, and the legend that you are, is that no one makes it as entertaining as you. You are outstanding in that regard. I am literally, I'm cringing on the inside saying all this, but you're a legend, man.
And you stink like a fox.
I didn't hear any of that.
You stink like a fox. Remember that.
Yeah, okay. So from the top?
All right.
Good.
No, you know what?
It is your gift,
right? Matthew, today will be the day that you download and listen.
And listen, that's true. Well, thank you. That's, again, I put earmuffs on, but I could read your lips. And Very kind of you to say. Thank you very much.
It's the truth.
I appreciate it.
That's why, it's what makes you and what makes us all very fortunate to be on the show with you day to day. So we are going to get to our mock draft, which we did yesterday. It was conducted after the podcast. So hopefully some good insight as to how we would go about a mock draft. We've been doing them once a week since July 30th. But
once a month
we get to that.
Once a month since May. Oh, and once a week since July 30th. Both. Yeah. The podcast has been doing them also once a month.
We've been doing a bunch. Yeah. Since the offseason, but with a more complete picture since July 30th. But before we get to that, a few pieces of news, all related to the COVID list for the most part. Just pass this along. The Cowboys, as we mentioned, are playing in 1 week from today. CeeDee Lamb, according to Todd Archer, our great Cowboys reporter, will be activated from the COVID-19 list. He's been on there for about a week or so. And, of course, as we know, CeeDee Lamb is a player that we are all incredibly optimistic about. You'd expect him to be back on the practice field soon, although I don't know the Cowboys' precise practice schedule with just 7 days until their regular season begins. And then in Indianapolis, two pieces of news. One, Carson Wentz, this is the good news, has been activated off of the COVID-19 list. Of course, the Colts have dealt with no shortage of COVID issues this preseason. He, as well as center Ryan Kelly and wide receiver Zach Pascal, have all been activated from the COVID-19 list. They would, at least you would think, all be fine and ready to go into practice soon. We'll still see on Carson Wentz in week one in terms of the foot availability. The other side of this is that wide receiver T.Y. Hilton has been officially placed on IR. No surprise there, Stefania, after the recent news of his neck issue.
Right, and Chris Ballard said that T.Y. Hilton underwent a procedure on his neck on Wednesday. So some sort of surgery. He didn't get into details, but he did say that it was not particularly intrusive, that it was more to give him relief. In the world of all the possibilities of spine surgery, the Colts are familiar with when a player has major surgery in the neck, like Peyton Manning did, where it costs you months. This sounds like it will be several weeks, but there's certainly some optimism, it sounds like, about T.Y. Hilton's potential to return.
Okay, well, we'll see when T.Y. does return. Obviously, a player that spent so much of this Colts franchise. Not a ton of other wide receivers that are proven right now in Indianapolis. Could mean good things for Michael Pittman, potentially Paris Campbell, or Zach Pascal as well. We just mentioned Pascal off of the COVID-19 list. So, as we stated, we did a 12-team PPR mock draft basically once a week for the past 5 or 6 weeks. The first one was July 30th. We did one yesterday. We wanted to kind of see how much the board has changed in those 35 days.
So,
12-team PPR
really,
mock draft.
Really quickly, if you want to follow along with this, you can pause the podcast right now. Head on over to ESPN.com/fantasy if you're listening to the audio version. And you'll see our 12-team mock draft with the Fantasy Focus crew right there. So you can go ahead and just pause the podcast. And we're back. And now you have the podcast, the mock draft in front of you. So you can follow along while we talk about it.
Here we go then.
Hey now, there you go.
What we're going to do is flash the July 30th rounds first, and then we'll get into the September 1st. And if you're watching, again, if you're watching right now, you can see them. As Daniel mentioned, if you're listening along, should be pretty simple to see. Big highlights from July 30th, Christian McCaffrey goes first, and we go 7 straight running backs until our first non-running back, that being Travis Kelce. Only 2 non-running... Oh, I'm sorry. Pick 5. I completely missed that. Davante Adams went 5th overall. That was to our friend Mike Rothstein. That's right. So, my apologies. 4 straight running backs, then a wide receiver, and then 9 of the first 12 picks were running backs all the way back on July 30th. As we zip forward to September 1st, actually were 6 running backs taken with the first 6 picks. So it went the same 5 from the first. Excuse me, no, it's not. Jeez, I got to read these things more. I'm having trouble. There's a lot of names. Go ahead, Matthew. Take it away.
What I was going to say is, I think
I'm
one difference
the wrong
from the July 30th.
Time.
So Ezekiel Elliott in the July 30th draft, Zeke went 7th overall. He went 4th overall in the draft just done yesterday. So I think confidence in the offensive line and Ezekiel Elliott bouncing back from a bad year in the health of Dak seems to be one of the things that is carrying that. Kelce went 7th in both drafts. Davante Adams went, as you mentioned, 5th in July 30th. He went 8th in September 1st. We had different people drafting in both drafts.
That's a big part of it as well. Totally.
You know, and different order. Like, I think, produced correctly, not pointing any names, produced correctly, I think we would have had the same people in the same order from July 30th and September 1st.
I think the biggest thing for me when I look at this is you see that Saquon Barkley went 4th overall in July 30th.
Yeah.
And yesterday, he went 9th. That's right. A pretty big slide in the first round when you're looking at people saying, I'm specifically choosing to be risk averse here.
Well, you know what that means, right? People are listening to Stefania Bell.
That's right.
And me.
People are concerned.
Well, mostly Stefania.
Mostly Stefania.
Well, you say I do it because Stefania says. So by transitive property.
I gave you your flowers already early on in the podcast.
Good point. Yeah.
So
not holding them.
Saquon Barkley.
What are the odds I remember those flowers?
One more
it would be nice to have had actual flowers.
One more interesting question here, man.
Yeah.
Is you had the sixth pick in this September 1st mock draft.
There you go. Thank you.
Now we're better. Literally have flowers.
Now I have flowers. Thanks for anyone listening
at home.
What
kind of flowers are those?
They handed me a plant.
what kind of flowers are
those? Is it a fake plant?
They're green flowers.
Yeah.
Green leafy flowers.
Green leaves. Oh. Yes.
Can I just do this? How do you think they've
That's the best you've ever looked on the podcast. Yeah.
You know what? I feel like it's between two ferns almost.
It is between two ferns.
Behind one plant.
Wait, hang on. Take a wide shot, Lisa. Lisa, take a wide shot here if you can.
We're so sorry to the audio team here.
So,
completely ruined the show.
Take two.
A two might be on Stefania. So we're having some.
Okay. Anyway, it's all right. So. It's all good. Anyway, I was just saying, between two ferns, I had the fern on one side and then Sfield was going to be the other fern. That was the joke that I was going for, but it's okay. we're doing the best we can with only three cameras here. Lisa is the freaking best. We love Lisa. I'm going to put the plant right there. All right. The other thing that I think is interesting of this first half.
Yeah. Is the first draft.
I had the sixth pick. And I went with Austin Eckler.
Right, over Travis Kelce or Davante Adams. Thoughts, what happened? What was the line of thinking behind that pick?
Well, first off, I followed my rankings. Because what I don't like is people going like, oh, you ranked this guy there, and then, you did this. That's my impression of my followers. But even though I say I use the rankings as a loose guide, and everyone should use rankings as a loose guide. Every draft is different, how you're feeling about certain players, whether you think certain players will slide or not. But I wanted to, the reason I did Eckler at six is I wanted to make a statement. I wanted to make a statement about Austin Eckler, which is that this guy, I believe, is a true RB1, that I think he's in that tier. I think he's going to have a monster season. I think Austin Eckler is going to have an absolutely monster season. I'm as a first round pick. I'm as a top six running back and a top six player overall. And that is well above consensus that he's on ESPN. He's currently going at pick 14. He's going in the middle of the second round. He's going lower. Austin Eckler leads my love list for running backs. He also, there's a lot of Eckler stats and 100 facts that are coming out, but seriously. And by the way, Seth Walder has a great Next Gen Stats column on ESPN.com. It's part of ESPN Plus. Check it out. But among one of the things he talks about in that column is that in addition to the fact that Austin Eckler got crazy unlucky with touchdowns last year, he only had three, which is crazy considering how many touches he got last year, even when he was hurt. I mean, he still played, nine full games. He got unlucky with the touchdowns last year, but he also got really unlucky with his run blocking. Those Chargers had a really brutal offensive line.
It was bad. Yeah.
They were just bad. they had one of the worst run blocking teams in the NFL last year. They've improved that significantly this offseason. The expectation here is that it's going to be they are one of my sneaky offenses to explode this year. I think Eckler is at the center of it. They're going to have a much better offensive line. He gets tons of touches. He is a true bell cow running back who isn't considered a bell cow running back.
All right, let's move forward from round one to round two. But before we get to that, Fantasy Focus Football is brought to you by Gumout. To get peak performance, a lot of people try the latest techniques, technology, and even ingredients. When it comes to performance enhancement for your car, the most exciting development is Gumout with Carbon Clear. Carbon Clear is potent. It's the most advanced fuel additive on the market. It's also their newest technology. Think of it like this. You've evolved your stat tracking. It's not just catches, yards, and touchdowns, right? You're tracking targets, yak, and even DVOA now. So why not evolve your car's performance too? In fact, cars on Gumout get better engine performance, increased fuel efficiency, and lower emissions. It only takes 2 minutes to pour Gumout into a gas tank, so it's quick and easy to use. It's not hard to find. You can get it at mass retailers or your local auto parts store. So what are you waiting for? Get your car running right with Gumout, now with Carbon Clear. Performance enhancement for your car.
Football is almost here, and there's no better place to get in on the action than with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. As the season is quickly approaching, DraftKings is your one-stop shop to make it rain all season long. To bring you even closer to the action, DraftKings is giving all new players a free shot at millions of dollars during week one. You haven't tried DraftKings yet? Preseason is the perfect time to test your strategy. It's simple. You just pick your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Nothing adds the excitement of watching games quite like having a free shot at huge cash prizes. And while you're perfecting your daily fantasy skills, don't forget to check out DraftKings free-to-play pools, where there's even more cash up for grabs. Head on over to the app right now. Download the DraftKings app now and use the code FFF. For a limited time, new players can get a free shot at $1 million during week one. Don't miss out on the action. Enter code FFF to get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes with your first deposit. That's code FFF, only at DraftKings, the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Millions of dollars. Millions of dollars. All right, we're back here for round two. And again, we're going to start by showing you what happened in round two on July 30th.
Before we move on to round two, can I just say one last thing? Also, I just want to say this. One last thing. It's part of my charm. Here's the other thing. We're going to go do a whole thing about this on the Fantasy Show on ESPN Plus later today. But I just want to mention this because I think it's weird that I don't mention it now.
Okay.
Austin Eckler's my fantasy ride or die this year.
Ooh.
Oh, there it is.
What? No.
Oh my God. I don't know what just happened in that corner, but people have been asking.
The world has been asking
on social media, who is Matthew's ride or die? The people need to know.
And so the answer is that he is my fantasy ride or die. Fantasy ride or die isn't about a sleeper. Austin Eckler is obviously a known commodity.
Yeah.
Right? But fantasy ride or die is like, this is the guy, two things. Number one is that I'm coming away from him in every single draft that I can. And number two is that he is somebody that I'm not wavering from. That, you know, I believe in this guy so strongly. And I have not wavered in the preseason on my love for Austin Eckler. Like I said, I just felt like, and so I'm just like, if he's my fantasy writer, I knew I was going to do, I'm doing a whole thing on the fantasy show on ESPN Plus later today. And so I'm in the, and I knew I was doing that. So when I'm in the draft yesterday at 6, I'm like, I am obviously taking my fantasy ride or die, but I just hadn't announced that yet. And then I thought, well, I'm just giving you my process here. I was sitting like, oh, it's going to be weird if I do this thing on the show, on the fantasy show later today. And then, but like, hey, we just hold this off conversation about Eckler and you didn't mention it. And so, whatever.
You should put this on Instagram like an engagement announcement.
You should
do that somehow.
I need reveals for like the gender reveal. You should have a reveal fantasy writer.
I need social media help. Somebody needs to do that for me. Build a graphic for me or something like that. I gotta figure out who could do that for me.
That was a pretty good sentence if you just left it after I need social media help. Like that would be a good place to stop.
That's also factually correct. I do.
Well, congratulations. But, I mean, that's cool. I mean, listen, I think it's a great pick. He is certainly incredibly talented. There are really no concerns with Austin Eckler whatsoever. I can't wait to see how it pans out. I'm excited for him.
The anti-Eckler argument is that he won't get touchdowns. Is that he won't get touchdowns and that they're going to use Larry Roundtree and Justin Jackson and, you know, Josh Kelly, and I don't buy that.
Right.
I don't, he had 11 touchdowns 2 years ago.
Yeah, no,
and it's a better offensive line. They've committed to him. He's their guy. I don't think that Joe Lombardi, their new offensive coordinator who comes from New Orleans, obviously they use Kamara at the goal line. And I think they're obviously built differently, but not super. I mean, they're similar type backs in terms of more shifty than, you know, powerful, that kind of thing.
Remember that time when Alvin Kamara scored 6 touchdowns on Christmas and I was playing against him in 2 finals?
Yes, I do.
One against my wife and she was sitting there laughing at me.
Yes, I remember that because I also was playing against Kamara like in 3 leagues or something like that.
Yeah, they use him at the goal. I'm just here to tell you guys they use him at the goal line on occasion. Let's move forward to round two. In round two, July 30th, again, on the screen right now, but some of the players that go off the board in round two include Antonio Gibson at the very top. See Clyde Edwards-Helaire right there in the middle. All running backs and wide receivers. No quarterbacks, no tight ends in round two. But a player that you see at number 16 is interesting to me. That is DeAndre Swift. And you're probably saying, why is DeAndre Swift going 16 interesting? Well, if you fast forward to September 1st, you notice that we are full through 2 full rounds and still no sign of DeAndre Swift. The second round in our most updated mock actually was wide receiver heavy, as 6 of the 12 selections in round two were wide receivers, including the likes of DeAndre Hopkins and Stephon Diggs and DK Metcalf and AJ Brown. All right, so Matthew, has the DeAndre Swift hate gone too far? We haven't even figured out where he's going to get drafted yet. But I can tell you this much. It won't be until at least round three. Is it too far? Or you think people are deservedly nervous?
I think they're deservedly nervous. Look, he is in that range of guys. Like, I so much prefer him to some of the other guys that are, you know, I prefer him to the Josh Jacobs of the world, right? Like, okay. You know, some of the other guys that are going there. I think he's really talented. I think DeAndre Swift is really, really talented. Here are my concerns.
Okay.
The offensive line.
Yep, fair.
Obviously, right? I mean, you know, it's...
Not really, to be honest. I mean, here's the deal. It should be the strength of the team.
Should be.
Right.
I mean,
there have been some unflattering snaps for Penei Sewell so far.
Whatever.
It should be, though.
He'll be fine.
I mean, left tackle's highly paid, highest paid center in the NFL, two young promising guards. It should be. Well, one young promising guard and Big V, who's not that young, but he's a big player.
Sure, of course.
This should be the strength of the offense. Should be. I'm not sure that it's the big thing.
It hasn't gelled yet.
The big thing is Sewell. There's been, again, it's tiny sample size. I think he's going to be fantastic.
I do too.
No concerns about Penei Sewell. He's playing right side, which there's an analogy that offensive linemen often describe switching from left tackle to right tackle. I'm not sure it's quite podcast appropriate, so yep. I'll let you go Google it or something. But it's an adjustment. So in any event, yes, Penei Sewell will be fine. But there have been some snaps that have made their way on the Twitter. They're like, oh, no.
Right. So anyway, so we'll see. Hopefully the offensive line gets figured out. It's also his health, right? He missed games last year. There's already a knee issue. His availability for week number one is in concern. I see Stefania raise her head up. You know, thoughts on DeAndre Swift's health?
Well, again, we'll talk about it more in detail tomorrow, but just know that there's this chatter about him maybe not being available for week one.
Right.
Because he's had this groin injury that's been bothering him, and Dan Campbell talked about having concerns about his conditioning and readiness, and so a little struggle there between not only just him getting healthy, but him getting conditioning ready for game playing.
Okay, but hang on. It says I pass up. The headline says TMR and Stefania pass up Swift in round three. I don't have the draft in front of me. Who did I take?
In round three?
Yeah, who did I take in round three to pass him up? I had Eckler in the first round. I think I took Hopkins in the second. Who did I take in the third?
Confirm that you took DeAndre Hopkins in the second. Do we have the third round available to flash up on the screen?
I don't remember. I do 8 billion drafts. I apologize for not remembering exactly who I took.
We'll have it in one
actually,
second.
I took in the third. But I don't. Second. I mean, I just followed my board.
You took Chris Carson, and I took David Montgomery.
Okay, yeah. Nice so pick, thank you. Stefania. Thank you, Stefania. Of course, Stefania always has the homework ready. Look, I.
teacher's pet.
A teacher's pet, 1,000%. You were. Question, real talk here, Stefania, for 1 second. You were the girl in school that was just like, you forgot to assign homework, weren't you? You were that person.
I might have been.
I knew it.
Oh, Steph,
you know who she
come
is?
Come on.
You know who Stefania is?
But I was young then. I got wiser as I got older. I didn't.
You know, I didn't. I've gotten older, but not wiser. I'm growing older, but not up, to quote Jimmy Buffett. What I would say, you know who Stefania is?
Who?
And I say this with a compliment.
Okay.
She's Hermione Granger.
Oh.
From the Harry Potter films?
Yeah.
You're Hermione Granger. That's who you are.
Okay. I think she's more Hermione from the books, but I'm just more of a books guy myself. Also, really quickly.
A lot of words in those books, though.
I know, there are.
You know, like, the book will take you like a week.
Pictures.
And like, yeah, with the movies, you can watch it like in 2 hours.
That's true. Yeah. I do want to ask you a real
they
quick
get
question.
Moving pictures.
One of the other things about Detroit we didn't quite get to that you might be worried about with DeAndre Swift is the fact that Jamal Williams is no slouch himself,
yes.
And he's definitely going to take some touches away from him there.
Yeah, I mean, Anthony Lynn likes to use, that's the other piece of it. Thank you. I was going to bring that
by
up.
By the way,
I'm sure you were. Yeah.
I love Jamal Williams. Jamal Williams is one of my favorite late round targets. He's on my love list, by the way. There are some positive Jamal Williams facts in 100 facts that comes out later today. So I'm a big Jamal Williams fan. He also got paid. Like he got, you know, for a guy that was considered, quote, a backup running back in Green Bay as a free agent this year, he got a nice deal to come to Detroit, which is interesting considering, you know, the Lions are a team with a lot of needs. So my expectation here is that it's more of a committee than I think people think. They have not, I don't think DeAndre Swift, as talented as I think he is, it's probably more of a committee. Having said that, look, I think Anthony Lynn wants to run the ball. I think they're both good pass catchers, DeAndre Swift and Jamal Williams. So when they're down, I don't think either guy necessarily, quote, comes off the field because they're both good pass catchers. And I think they'll catch a lot of passes. So DeAndre Swift is a very solid mid-tier RB2. I like him quite a bit. I just don't like him as much as Chris Carson, who I have at running back 13.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys know how I feel about Chris Carson. He is always massively underrated. He's going as RB19 on ESPN in terms of ADP. Chris Carson is, I don't understand the questions about Chris Carson. Like, he's added pass catching. It's going to be one of the better offenses in the NFL. He is the unquestioned bell cow running back of that team. I think the injury concerns are overblown. Like there aren't a lot of bell cow running backs, and he's one of them on a good offense who's been productive in the NFL. Like, what are we missing, people? He averaged over 5 yards a carry last year.
Yeah, well, okay, let's...
okay, anyway, whatever.
Beyond that, let's get back to the mock draft here.
So I didn't pass up DeAndre Swift. I grabbed my guy, Chris Carson, who I have ranked higher than DeAndre Swift. I followed my board.
So anyways,
saying.
Let's try to get this sort of back on track and just leave. Let's focus in on the mock draft here. Stefan, in the second round, you took Darren Waller. Thoughts on that pick? Did you consider either a second running back or potentially a wide receiver in that slot?
I did. I considered it all, and I sort of was experimenting, because that's what mock drafts are for to me. It's like, it's a chance to see how things play out before you do the real thing. And I haven't really gone with the late running back strategy before. So I've been really nervous about getting one of the top tier running backs. I prefer to draft in the top five or six picks, because I'm pretty comfortable with who I can get at running back there. And I ended up with Davante Adams as my first pick. And so I felt like, you know what, I'm going to take this a step further, and I'm going to go with one of the best tight ends, because I believe there's a big drop off after George Kittle. I have George Kittle a little higher than most, but I still felt like it was a bit of a reach for him there. I like Darren Waller as a target monster, and I just thought, I'm going to wait and see what happens when I wait on running back. I feel like I ended up with mediocre running backs, which is probably what I thought would happen, but I'm not convinced that I would feel a whole lot better about my running backs if I had taken one there.
Also, you don't know that until you try it. That's part of the mock draft strategy. You know what I mean?
Know it until you try it. Let's move forward here to round three. We ought to kind of pick the pace up here a little bit for some of the things that may have taken place or not taken place in our mock draft. And if you look at the mock draft from September 1st, we'll get right to that. You'll notice that Patrick Mahomes went 25th overall. That's Keith Lipscomb picking in that around the horn spot. He had the first overall pick and then had 24 and 25. He's the only quarterback to go in this round, a round dominated by, well, running backs and wide receivers. What else? George Kittle, the only tight end to go off the board. The likes of Justin Jefferson and CeeDee Lamb going off the board in here. Amari Cooper and Robert Woods to conclude the round, Matthew. So
a couple of sort of quick, you know, reactions on this third round here. First off, like, so Miles Sanders and David Montgomery, I think they went ahead of DeAndre Swift, right? Or did
I took Montgomery.
Yes.
Correct.
Right. I would have preferred Swift over either of those guys. I have Swift ranked higher than Sanders or Montgomery, so I would have preferred Swift there. You know, and it's interesting because the third round felt like a little bit of sort of a get your guys round. You know, CeeDee Lamb went higher than, I mean, because CeeDee Lamb is one of the people that are in on CeeDee Lamb are really in on him, and I know Field Yates, you are. He was one of your Field's favorites.
If there was a ride or die for me, he'd be my ride or die.
Yeah. Which, by the way, also a good one.
Okay,
like it's a great offense. He's an insanely talented player. The only question, and it's a slight one, the only question on CeeDee Lamb, and I have him ranked, like, I think I have him at 13 and I have Cooper at 12. Like, I have them, you know, right next to each other. So I'm with you that CeeDee Lamb takes a big step forward. The only question is target share. Because Michael Gallup is talented, the tight ends are talented, Zeke is involved in the passing game, and does Dak Prescott get the kind of passing volume that we've seen previously if the Cowboys' defense is decent?
Yeah, and decent's going to be an achievement if they were decent, by the way.
Right, because they've been brutal, but they spent a lot of, every single one of their draft picks was defense. Yeah, I mean, and they spent the offense trying to improve that defense.
Yes, they sure.
I know. In the Cowboys organization, I know they feel better about their defense this year than they. We'll see what happens on the field, but I know internally they feel better about their defense.
Yeah, again, the thought on CeeDee Lamb has always been talent play. It's just that we're talking about like a prodigious type wide receiver.
Sure.
He could be Justin Jefferson like this year, even if the volume is slightly lower than where Justin Jefferson was last year. I wanted to share this. Daniel just talked about how like you never know how a thing's going to play out unless you try it in a mock draft. I mentioned that Keith Lipscomb had the first pick in this draft, which meant he had the 25th pick in this draft as well, and he took Patrick Mahomes. That caught my eye because, first of all, it feels sort of unlike Keith. And Keith told me over email, as a matter of fact, it is very unlike him. He
right.
is totally comfortable with any of the top eight quarterbacks, happy with them, as a matter of fact. He took Patrick Mahomes much earlier than he normally would. He wanted to see how things would play out. He feels as though, like all of us do, there's better value to be had, whether it's a second running back, your top wide receiver, maybe even one of those top three tight ends. But this was sort of a, let me try this now, experiment, that if I'm doing a real draft, I'm presented with a similar opportunity, even though he thinks there is a decent chance that Patrick Mahomes, or a good chance he'll finish as QB1, it still may not be the best investment relative to other players who are still on the board.
And this is a great point. I can't emphasize this enough. Mock draft, mock draft, mock draft.
Yeah, do it for fun.
They're for free on ESPN.com. You can choose your draft spot. You can choose how many teams in your league. You can choose the settings. All those things, you know, you can choose to sort of see what will happen when you go through it. And by the way, if you sign up for a mock draft, don't leave early. People that leave mock drafts early are like the sixth worst people on earth.
Who are the first five?
Huh?
Who are the first five?
Don't have time. We don't have, sorry, Field, we don't have time. I love you so much.
You know what? I'm going to get in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
I'm going to anger probably about half the country if I get into who I think the...
But it's enticing to see like Christian McCaffrey and Patrick Mahomes on my fantasy team. Like just those two, you're like, all right, well, cool. Sign me up. But like,
there is something to be said, no doubt, about having two players on your roster that could well lead their respective positions in scoring and maybe by a decent margin as well. It's just the idea that that's going to leave you like, who knows what your wide receiver group is going to be looking like, potentially your second running back is going to be looking like. Here's a last random strategy that I've thought about because it's been presented to me a couple times. In some years, the top tight end is either well above the second best tight end, or even the top tight ends don't come close to equating to a top wide receiver. It feels to me like there is a good chance that if Darren Waller and Travis Kelce especially were designated as wide receivers, they would still be top 10-ish options. Kelce might be a top 5 wide receiver if you made him a wide receiver in fantasy.
Yes.
You think about doubling down on those two players if you can get them early. Like, is Kelce in the first round plus Waller either early in the third or maybe even with your second round pick? Is that too much?
I don't think... Here's what I would say. Is it's not, but you're doing a very specific thing right there. So first off, I don't think Waller gets to the third round. Waller shouldn't go to the third round.
So let's say you took Kelce fifth and you came back around at pick 16 in a 10-team league and Waller is sitting there. Would you do it?
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it. I think what it's a couple of specific things. First off, right, you're playing Waller at the flex. Mm-hmm. And so it's in essence, and what you're also doing is you're creating depth, right? Because now you've got the two best tight ends in fantasy. You can obviously trade one of them.
Yeah.
So I would want to do that in a league in which I knew that I'd be able to trade. Okay. Like, so not an online league where you really don't know anyone. It would need to be a league of friends or coworkers or family or, you know, people you knew that you could, if you needed to trade one of those guys, you could.
Right.
So there's that. And the other issue of it is that it depends on sort of who's available. Now I will tell you, so we mentioned this the other day on the show, the Mike Clay, the crazy deep Mike Clay league that we were all in, that's tight end premium scoring. So it's PPR, but tight ends get 1.5 points per reception.
Got it.
So tight ends are even more valuable in that league. And in the third, fourth round, so I had the 12th pick, I went Josh Allen and Steph Diggs. I went a stack there. Again, this is a crazy league where you start 6 wide receivers, 3 running backs, 2 quarterbacks, 2 tight ends, and you only have a 4-person bench. It's an insanely deep league. Like, you start everyone. So I went the Bills stack in the first round, and then coming back around at the 3-4 turn, I went Mark Andrews and Logan Thomas.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think in a tight end premium scoring, it's obvious why.
Well, sure, but I put out last night the draft board on Twitter, and I got a lot of people asking about that. Even in a tight end premium, are you going, you know, back-to-back tight ends? I don't have a problem with Kelce and Waller. It's about where I have them ranked. I have Waller's, I think I am Waller like at 19 in the overall.
Right, so it's not that much of a reach.
It's not that much of a reach. But again, you just need to have a specific strategy. And then, you know, and it's easier to pull off in a 10-team league where there's a lot more talent available than it is in a deeper league, I think.
Two different bye weeks, by the way, just in case. Because that would have been like the only detriment
too, right?
To it. So they have two different bye weeks.
You know, when you're filling in for Travis Kelce on a bye, like, you could potentially be filling in with a player that on average is like 13 points worse than him.
Right.
Whereas with Waller, you might have a chance to get 80 or 85 or 90% of Travis Kelce on a bye week.
Bench, throwing them in the flex, maybe.
Not a bad way to potentially.
Yeah, so it's definitely an interesting strategy, but that's one of those that I would recommend mocking and seeing how your team turns out to go, because you're obviously passing on two other players. You know, you're passing on every other position.
So back to this Mahomes thing, just really quickly. And part of the reason why I have always been an advocate for not starting or finishing the train of quarterbacks is that you just have no idea how the rest of the league is going to approach it. So Patrick Mahomes goes 25th in this over in this mock draft overall. The next time we see Josh Allen get, or the next time we see a quarterback get picked, is much later in this. I think, let's say quarterback two didn't go until the eighth pick of the fourth round. So the premium on Mahomes ends up being, what, if my math is correct, like 19 picks?
Mm-hmm.
19 picks ahead of somebody like Josh Allen. And I think the reality is that while Mahomes may have a slightly better season this year, he finished 0.2 points per game better than Josh Allen last year. It's not like you are getting significantly more value with Patrick Mahomes versus Josh Allen. It's why I'm more comfortable waiting for that run to begin and being a part of that run as opposed to being the person that starts it or the person that's sitting there at the very end waiting for a quarterback and being like, oh gosh, what am I left with here? You know, finding yourself starting Ben Roethlisberger or somebody like that going into the season. Daniel, what do you got? Retiring to tell me to do a live read.
I am. Yeah, I'm okay. Saying when you're done with this field. Hey, guys.
Hey.
Time. All right, we'll come back in the fourth round in just a minute, but did you know that more than 50 million men suffer from male pattern baldness? 50 million. And 2 out of 3 men will experience some form of hair loss by the age of 35. Oh, no. Keeps offers a simple, stress-free way to keep your hair. Convenient virtual doctor consultations and medications delivered straight to your door every 3 months. You don't have to leave your home. Low-cost treatments start at just $10 per month, and Keeps offers generic versions, discreet packaging, and proven results. Keeps has more 5-star reviews than any of its competitors, and prevention is key. Treatments can take 4 to 6 months to see results, so act fast. If you're ready to take action and prevent hair loss, go to keeps.com/FFF, and that's KEEPS.com/FFF to receive your first month of treatment for free. That's keeps.com/FFF to get your first month free. KEEPS.com/FFF.
College football fans, after an offseason that felt a little more off than usual, Fansville and Dr. Pepper invite you to celebrate. Because college football is back, baby, and so are the fans.
Let's go!
Yes, it's the most wonderful time of the year again, and the season of Saturdays is upon us when rivalries run deep and nacho cheese dip runs even deeper. So crack open a nice cold Dr. Pepper, warm up your cornhole tossing arm, and return to glory with an all-new season of Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve.
Hey guys, do you own or rent your home?
Yes.
Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work.
Ugh,
but you know it's easy.
Poor Beth.
Yes, poor Beth. You know it's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Field, I want to give a quick shout out to our buddy Thirsty Kyle, who is not here with us today.
Yes, he is not.
He is not because his basement flooded last night in the big storms that we had. Kyle, we love you, buddy.
We do love you, buddy. Yeah. Hopefully everything is getting back on track. A lot of rain. The tail of Hurricane Ida has made its way to the northeast. So we're thinking about all those here in Connecticut that have been impacted. Certainly the city, New York City. We've seen all the videos all over social media. I know the state itself has been impacted. So if you're out there dealing with flooding issues, we hope you are safe and okay. We know these issues can be especially daunting. Let's move to our rookie stock watch here within this mock draft. And Matthew, I think one of the players whose stock has probably dropped more than you would have guessed going into the preseason is Ja'Marr Chase, who went 50th overall in our July 30th mock draft. He slides down to 63rd overall, so early portion of the sixth round in this draft, but seventh round, a 10-team league, after the likes of Juju Smith-Schuster and Jerry Jeudy. We have seen so many examples of rookies especially looking great in preseason or looking terrible in preseason, and then the flip is switched once the regular season begins. If you have moved Ja'Marr Chase down in your rankings.
Did you say the flip is switched?
Yeah.
Isn't it the switch is flipped?
Switch is flipped? I don't know what I said. Did I say
flip? I think you said the flip is switched.
Oh.
I you pulled the math. That's normally
he
what I do.
It.
Yeah.
He was clever that way.
Oh, is that what it was?
It.
Oh, did you?
He flipped
you punked
it.
Me.
Yeah.
I just got punked.
I don't know. Yeah. The bottom line is you all got hopefully what I was.
I got what you were saying. Sorry, I didn't mean to slow it down.
No, it's okay. No problem. If you have moved Ja'Marr Chase down in your rankings, which I think a lot of people probably have after the preseason.
Sure.
Is it one of those where you're like, no, you know, he's a really good player, but I just really believe in T. Higgins? Or is it like, I'm doing this, but I'm ridiculously nervous about doing it?
I think it's a combination of things. So I certainly think there are certain players that have gotten buzz.
Yep.
Jerry Jeudy is somebody that has risen up. You know what I mean? Like, I think people are, you know, thinking more about Jerry Jeudy. I think Teddy Bridgewater being named the starter in Denver, a little more accurate quarterback than Drew Lock. Jerry Jeudy, an amazing route runner. I think people felt like that was a move that helps Judy's stock. So there's stuff like that. And then there's also, like, I think, again, we sort of talk about social media, right? I mean, like, Ja'Marr Chase has had some bad drops in the preseason, and those have gotten shared widely. And so you're talking about a rookie with a quarterback that, you know, has also looked a little shaky at times early in the preseason as he comes back from his injury. Maybe there's some concerns, along with the fact that, I mean, I don't think I'm the only one here, but I keep talking about how insane a value Tyler Boyd is. And, you know, like, when we started talking in the preseason draft process, I'm just like, I don't understand why the drafts are going Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, and Tyler Boyd, when I think that should be a completely different order.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, I think it personally, I have at cost, I would have them Boyd, Higgins, Chase. In terms of my overall ranks, I think I have them Higgins, Boyd, Chase.
Higgins, Boyd, Chase. At cost.
At cost, I prefer Boyd. Of the three guys, at cost, because Boyd's going four rounds later than,
Higgins,
than
Chase.
Chase. I mean, they've gotten a little bit closer. But again, I don't know that Ja'Marr Chase gets the massive target share that some of the rookie wide receivers that have popped recently. Like, Justin Jefferson got an amazing target share.
Right, he did.
Last year, right? And so they've got a lot of talented pass catchers in Cincinnati. And so Ja'Marr Chase, who hasn't played football in a year, do I think this kid's going to be a great pro and a great fantasy star? I do. Do I think it happens week one? Maybe not.
Yeah, it might take a little time. I think there's probably...
Like, we all like T. Higgins, right? We all think T. Higgins is great. It took T. Higgins time to get... I mean, he was a little bit of time, and he was like the only guy they had. Again, Tyler Boyd was a top 15 fantasy wide receiver under Joe Burrow last year.
Yeah,
top 15. Like, it's not like Tyler Boyd suddenly got bad overnight. He's still a very good young player. So my expectation is that that I think probably the hype on Ja'Marr Chase was a little bit too high, and now it's starting to market correct a little bit.
All right, so let's get into another rookie that was drafted 62nd overall in July, 57th overall yesterday, September 1st. He goes down in his position ranks, though, interestingly enough. That's Kyle Pitts, who was the fifth tight end off the board at 62nd overall back on July 30th. The sixth tight end off the board at 57th overall yesterday, July 1st. Matthew, you had the chance to take Kyle Pitts, and you decided to go with TJ Hockenson. Was that an easy decision for you?
Yes.
It was.
Sorry, I answered for him.
That's, I mean, it was. Yes, it was an easy decision for me. Look, to me, that passing offense in Detroit goes through TJ Hockenson.
You say he's, yeah.
And I think he's really talented. I think he's a very talented player. Hockenson is somebody who last year got a ton of looks. And then again, like, you just, like, you know, like, who do they, Quintus Cephas, Tyrell Williams, you know, Khalif Raymond, like, Amon-Ra St. Brown. Like, I just named the Detroit Lions pass catchers that are competing for targets with TJ Hockenson. And all due respect to those four players, my expectation here, again, to get a tight end that's super talented, that the passing offense is going to go through, which is, that's the argument for Waller. That's the argument for Mark Andrews. It's kind of Kelsey. Yeah. I mean, Tyreek Hill's there as well. But, you know, Kelsey gets a ton of targets from the best quarterback in football. Well, one of them, like it's just, it's rare to find those guys where the passing offense goes through that tight end. And so we think Kyle Pitts is phenomenal. And I get it. There's never been a tight end drafted with the kind of draft capital he has gotten. And there's a lot of targets available with Julio Jones down in Tennessee. But he's still a rookie tight end. And look, I mean, Kyle Pitts can be good, but I'm nervous about Kyle Pitts, where he's going in drafts. For me, Hockenson is more of a proven commodity.
I got to be honest with you, though. I actually think Kyle Pitts is starting to level off to a reasonable spot. Like, I actually think the back end of the fifth round, top of the sixth, is actually fine for
him. Yeah, I'm with you.
You know, like, I thought it would have gotten out of control if he had been going ahead of, like, George Kittle or something.
Right.
Which I think right when he got drafted, I think there were some people that were prepared to do something wild with Kyle Pitts. But I don't think going where he's going. Like, I'm actually okay with
Stefania took him number one overall in our dynasty league.
Well, it's a dynasty league.
Yeah, of course.
Rookie, in our dynasty rookie draft.
Yeah. Dynasty rookie draft. Right. Yes, that's exactly. that's an important distinction.
And also, you have Justin Herbert on that team.
You obviously have a young franchise quarterback as well. So Lawrence wasn't a need for you. But yeah, but my point is like, and by the way, like I'm in an expert dynasty league.
And as opposed to dynasty.
Wow. That was the backhanded.
The one I was talking about with the guys. So that other, so I play in a league with Field and Stefania and Daniel, and then I played an expert league.
Expert league.
Shout out to all the experts.
Yeah, exactly. Fair enough. Like, I mean,
Or the also-ran league, a little bit.
Yeah, well, I mean, any league, I'm not going to dig myself out of this one. I'm not even going to try. Whatever it is, what it is. My point is that I think most people think of that our league that we do, a dynasty league, as an is not an expert league, but an ESPN league. I think people just assume it's an ESPN league because some of the people in our league, where that while they are very good fantasy players, are not known fantasy experts to the public at large.
Ed Eck,
who oversees the fantasy show on with Matthew Barron and ESPN, great fantasy player, great fantasy, but great beard. We love Ed Eck, but. By the way, the creator of The Untire and former podcast guest Ed Eck, way back in the day, for anyone that listened to the baseball podcast 1,000 years ago. But anyway, we love Ed Eck. But most of the people at home don't know who Ed Eck is.
Right.
Whereas
I'm glad we're spending so much time talking about him on the podcast then.
Well, you know, whatever, he's the producer of my TV show. I'm hoping for some love.
That's fair.
Honestly, you're the guys that brought up the
Listen,
screw you guys.
Really,
I'm out of here.
No, really
I'm
quickly.
Cartman.
Ed Eck is the producer of the fantasy show, which is on ESPN Plus. Matthew, we have a new fantasy show dropping later today. If you do not have ESPN Plus, there are ways that you can get it to be able to watch our TV show.
Yes, you can obviously subscribe to ESPN Plus, but you know what? For just a few bucks more, you could subscribe to rotopass.com,
which gets you
12 months of ESPN Plus, plus 12 months of five other great premium fantasy football sites that have all sorts of tools,
from
customized
experts.
Ranks.
From
they have experts.
Yes. Yeah.
They have experts. They have experts that do well in ranking competitions. They have all sorts of tools, customized analysis for whatever you play. You play in a 2-point PPR. You play in half point PPR. You play in Dynasty. You play in Devy. You play in Best Ball. You're doing DFS. They've got lineup optimizers and analysis every week as well. Literally everything you could possibly need and then like 12 things more. For fantasy football, there's a reason why so many people keep coming back to us. We've made thousands of winners. Let's make you a winner. Rotopass.com, and if you use the promo code 06010, you can get 10% off. It literally is the best deal on the internet. Really? Like, if you bought all those sites separately, it would cost you $400. And with this promo code, it's just barely a little bit more than, you know, it's a little under 70 bucks.
Wow.
I'm sorry, a little under 80 bucks. It's 70 plus.
Wow.
So, like, anyway, it's a great deal.
That is a great, great deal right there. Well, let's get to the Broncos.
For 12 months. Works out to, like, 30 cents a day.
Wow. 30 cents a day?
Nothing.
That's nothing.
Yeah.
I saw, like, the largest order ever at Starbucks. The most expensive single coffee order was, like, $129. Now, it was Stefania who went to New York to get this Starbucks.
True.
She also
That's
got,
true.
She got, yeah, there right. was, she had someone hand deliver it to her on a gold plate.
Right.
I understand.
She came with a pair of Prada sunglasses.
They actually met her say. On her errand running.
I thought they drove it to her in a limo. Yeah. In my photo, but I got the park across the street. I figure if you knew where I was, you know things.
Right. Let's talk about running backs.
Okay. Sure.
Let's talk about the Broncos and the 49ers, who each of those teams drafted a running back. The Broncos took Javonte Williams in the second round. All the way back on July 30th, he went 64th overall, RB25, 41 spots ahead of Melvin Gordon. September 1st, he went 53rd overall, which is RB24, just 36 spots ahead of Melvin Gordon. The 49ers used a third-round pick on Trey Sermon, who went 87th overall at RB34, 16 picks after Raheem Mostert. September 1st, he went 83rd overall, running back 31, 8 picks after Raheem Mostert. All right, so four players in play right now, Raheem Mostert and Trey Sermon, Melvin Gordon, and Javonte Williams. Here are the ADPs for each of those players. Javonte Williams, RB24. Melvin Gordon, RB32. Raheem Mostert, RB27. Trey Sermon, RB39. Do you have a clear-cut preference in each of those backfields at cost, Matthew? So Javonte Williams at RB24, Melvin Gordon at RB24. One more time. Javonte Williams, RB 24. Melvin Gordon, RB 32 in Denver.
Yeah, I don't mind either of them because you're using them as sort of RB 3s. I've said my piece on Javonte Williams.
And Cam Akers.
He's this year's Cam Akers. And by that, I mean, I think he will be overdrafted. Running back 24 is a little pricey for a guy that's in a committee. And I do think Melvin Gordon's going to be more to the starter, at least initially. But I do think over the course of the season, Javonte Williams overtakes him. And then you look at the Broncos schedule down the stretch and it's ridiculous. It's a really nice schedule. So I think much like Cam Akers last year was overdrafted. He frustrated fantasy managers for a long time because of the usage. He was stuck in more of a committee than people thought when he was drafted by the Rams. And then he overtook that job and was a just absolute fantasy superstar down the stretch. And that's my expectation. That's what's going to happen with Javonte Williams here. I do think, listen, any running back outside the top 30 has worth. Melvin Gordon's going to be the starter. Now, it's going to be 1A to 1B
right.
is my expectation. Mm-hmm. But Melvin Gordon's a good pass catcher, still has some burst, you know, decent chance, obviously, they use him at the goal line. Sort of interesting, right, when you think about this team and how it's made up, the Broncos. It's an old school coaching staff.
Sure is.
Right? I mean, it's a really old school coaching. Pat Shurmur, yeah. Vic Fangio. Like, yeah. I mean, it's old school. These are old school guys, and they, you know, Teddy Bridgewater is a conservative quarterback.
Okay. Yep.
They expect to have a good defense this year. You know, do you feel like they want to lean more on the veteran Melvin Gordon than necessarily a rookie, a coach that might be more open to that? Feels like I'm speculating. I'm purely speculating. Yep. But that feels like depends, an old right? school. I mean, you know, hard nose, smash mouth football kind of, you know, let's protect the football. Let's, you know, not, let's be conservative. Teddy Bridgewater doesn't turn the ball over, right?
And let's Melvin run. Gordon's not a scrub either.
No, that's the other thing. That's what I'm saying. Melvin Gordon is a proven commodity. Yeah. He's a veteran.
My understanding is that they really like Javonte Williams, who got a lot more run because of the fact that Melvin Gordon wasn't around during
sure.
OTAs.
Yep.
They like what they've seen from Javonte Williams. I think he's impressed them beyond what their expectations were at this point. And you're right. Melvin Gordon's not a scrub. I drafted him. I think he was a late pick for me in the eighth, I think. Yep. I got him yesterday. So I definitely think he's got good utilization potential earlier. But I would not be surprised if Javonte Williams overtakes him. I don't know.
That's
a month in?
Yeah, that's the expectation, I think, for all of us. But we all, and by all, I mean me, Field, and Daniel, have Williams ranked lower than consensus.
Yep. How about, so for the 49ers, Raheem Mostert, RB 27, Trey Sermon, RB 39. At cost, which do you prefer?
I prefer Mostert. I have him higher than that. I have Mostert, I want to say, at running back 22 okay. off the top of my head.
Yep. You have the widest gap between Raheem Mostert and Trey Sermon amongst our rankers, 15 slots apart.
And by the way, I think I have Trey Sermon higher than ADP as well. Like, Trey Sermon made my love list. Like, I like both guys. Mm-hmm. I think the 49ers are going to be good enough this year. Stefania, you close your ears. I think the 49ers offense is going to be good enough to support two fantasy relevant running backs. That is it's a run heavy team, a great offensive line. And, you know, you're going to have to guard, you know, Samuel and Ayuk and Kittle. Like, I think there's going to be some wide open running lanes for them.
We always find a way to run the ball very, yeah. very well under Kyle Shanahan. All right, let's get to a couple last questions. So late round flyers, something we talk about all the time in this podcast, or on this podcast, I should say. Of the picks that you made, Matthew, is there a late round pick that you liked the most that's now on your roster?
Yeah, Darnell Mooney. I really like Darnell Mooney. Like, I think the Bears offense gets maligned a little bit too much. I understand the concerns of the Bears fans, and I get all that, but this is a team last year that was eighth in pass attempts, that was 12 in offensive plays from scrimmage with Mitch Trubisky and Nick Foles as a quarterback. Whatever you think of Andy Dalton, I would argue he's an upgrade over those two guys. And we all agree that Justin Fields is not, it's not if, it's when Justin Fields becomes the starter for the Bears. I think he'll be an even bigger upgrade. After Allen Robinson, there's a lot of targets available. Mooney flashed a lot last year. And if you watch the games, if you go back and watch the tape, Mooney was open a lot. They just couldn't get him the ball. They overthrew him. They underthrew him. Like, he is fast. And, you know, making that leap from year one to year two, I really like Darnell Mooney as a player, as a prospect. And I think he's one of my favorite late-round flyers.
I snagged Nelson Aguilar late, my last non-defense or okay. kicker pick, round 14 for me. And he has done nothing, really, during the preseason. He's been a little bit in and out of practice, but nothing serious. But this goes back to what we've talked about so many times on this show, is following the money. This is a player who last year finished second in the NFL in yards per reception. He was a little bit hit or miss in terms of fantasy, but that was in a Las Vegas offense that ran through Darren Waller and also the running game and a physical offensive line. In New England, now with Mac Jones, I wonder if Nelson Aguilar is going to get back to his deep threat ways. I think this Patriots offense obviously looked better throwing the ball with Mac Jones than it would have with Cam Newton under center. So give me Nelson Aguilar as my favorite late-round flyer. How about you, Stefania? My own picks, I should say.
Oh, yeah. So I read the directions as it didn't have to be your own pick. Yeah. So I really liked Callaway. Eric Carabel took him in the 10th round. I think, obviously, he's going to have a lot of potential for the first 6 weeks. Now that we know that Michael Thomas is definitely not going to be there, I like him. If I had to pick one of my own, I'd probably go with Terrace Marshall on the Panthers. Because I think that he's going to continue to develop. When I saw him at camp, they were integrating him a lot. He got a lot of usage. So I think he's a player
he's
to
the
watch.
One.
Marshall's had a great preseason. They like him a lot there. The only concern there is just they've got a lot of talent there in Carolina. But it's one of the reasons why, as we talked about the other day,
you take
kind of like Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
And you take Marshall late. Right. Love Marshall in Dynasty. There's no question.
Daniel?
I've got Mecole Hardman. I mean, for me, I got Mecole Hardman in the 11th round.
He could be a top 10 wide receiver.
Stop it. All jokes aside, Mecole Hardman, listen, at the spot that I'm taking him in the 11th round, the idea that I've got my starters just locked up in front of him, I don't ever need him to really be a starter for me, but he's on an offense that's absolutely unbelievable. And now that they've had a couple of people that have left that offense, especially with Sammy Watkins, I think that there's at least a chance that Mecole Hardman could develop a role there. And if anything were to happen to Tyreek Hill, obviously he would at least vault up from some perspective. So as a guy I don't really need to count on, but just has a ton of upside, I love Mecole Hardman late.
Get passes from Patrick Mahomes. Good things often do happen. Yeah, how about a takeaway from the last mock draft of the season? Matthew, anything you want to chime in with here?
Just that I crushed this draft like a grape.
Wow. For the
first time, like, for everything it's unbelievable. Right? At some point you'd think people would catch on. I guess if I'm gonna, that's fine. It's just that, you know, it feels like quarterbacks are going earlier in not just this mock draft, but in all drafts. Feels like, you know, for years it's always wait on quarterback. And this year feels like quarterbacks are going earlier than normal in expert leagues. Sometimes in home leagues they always do, but in quote unquote expert leagues they're going, because as we've talked about, having a good quarterback is the new mediocre quarterback, because there's so many quarterbacks. Like, you want an elite quarterback, you want somebody that runs as well. We just talked about the fact that Mahomes went in the third here as well. And we're seeing backup rookie quarterbacks drafted. Like, guys like Justin Fields and Trey Lance are being drafted, and they should be. Mm-hmm. Those guys are sleepers for me. I think they're going to be fantasy superstars once they get the job. But, like, how rare is that? Rarely do you see rookie quarterbacks drafted, especially ones that don't even have the job on week one.
My takeaway, I already kind of got into this earlier, so I'll make it quick, is that I don't want to be the first player to take a quarterback just because you don't know when that train is going to start thereafter. I don't want to be the last to take a quarterback as well. I agree with you, though. It does seem like that mid-tier of quarterbacks, not mid-tier, but that second tier of quarterbacks is going earlier than in previous years. I'm happy to be a part of that tier. I'm happy to grab someone like Kyler Murray in the 6th or 7th round as opposed to waiting until the 10th or 11th round to grab my quarterback. Stefania, what do you got for a takeaway?
I kind of alluded to it as well. I really don't love going zero running back in my strategy. I tried it. I didn't feel great about it, but I also, you know, really is for me, draft order, which you very rarely have control over, but boy, do I want to end up in the top half of my draft, because I really like the top running backs, top 5 or 6, and then I'm out.
What pick do you have in the War Room League?
5.
Wow, look at you, Daniel. Nice. What's your takeaway from this draft?
I have 10. I have 14.
My takeaway is that I need to grab a running back in the first 2 rounds. I have waited, similar to what Stefan just talked about. I need to get somebody that is going to be my cornerstone of my running back class, and I think I need to grab someone because it gets too dicey too quickly. And with that same point, I also think that there's 1 of 7 tight ends. Matthew, I know you've talked about this as well.
Yes.
There's 1 of 7 tight ends that I want, and I am making sure I'm getting 1 of those 7 tight ends as my starter.
Yeah, I like that. I agree with that.
TJ Hawkinson, Darren Fells.
Stop it. No.
Isaac Nata, is he still there in Detroit?
Stop it.
Chris Herndon.
Who was the big touchdown? The guy that caught the touchdowns and the
Joe Fourier. Joe Fourier, who could dance.
Yes,
that's like Travis Kelce in terms of dance moves. All right, that's all we have for today. That's going to do it for our show. We'll be back tomorrow with a fantasy superstar interview. When I say superstar, that may be underselling it. The annual Stefania Injury Show is also tomorrow. I'm telling
you. Can't believe you guys are interviewing me tomorrow.
Must see linear television. time to say it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right. So, fantasy. Oh, yeah. No, that?
Yeah.
I thought we were saying for Fields,
wow,
Stefania, Daniel.
Quality.
Hey, get dry, Kyle. Peace out. Turning